Okay, works better if you turn it upside right. Good morning, everyone. Well, here we all are, a faithful community of believers, of gathered disciples together in a room, wondering, perhaps, what to do after hearing the good news of Easter last week. Just like the first disciples, we are gathered almost as if waiting. Now what? Future instruction. We, like they, are perhaps wondering what just happened. A much-loved member of this congregation last week sent to me a Hallmark Easter card. And it was really quite something. I opened it up and it's a pastor at a pulpit. And the pastor clears his throat. And he says, my title for my Easter sermon this week is, Where in the Blank Have You All Been Since Christmas? And on this day, we had a little smile that brought a little laugh to myself. But it was on this day we think about how, where we all are. We find ourselves in one of the most typically across the church, down Sundays. However, I like the numbers we have here today, and I love all of you for being here. Many pastors, in fact, take this Sunday as a day away as well. It's time to relax a little bit. I'm holding off till next week. I'll be in Florida. It is a question, though, why attend last weekend and not this week? After all, the truth is, we Christians celebrate Easter every Sunday. That's why we gather. But it almost seems to me as though it is easier to celebrate Easter than it is to live with it. Hear that again. It's easier to sometimes just celebrate Easter. He is risen. Than it is to live with that reality. Like the disciples, we now know it's going to get more complicated, as it did for them. Look at this. We see the closest disciples already experiencing different levels of faith, don't we? They are all followers, yet we find at least one sharing his doubt in a resurrected Jesus Christ. I'm not so sure. You're going to have to show me. I think Thomas was from Missouri. We too still, on days like this, experience different levels of faith. Jesus does come again, and amongst the faithful, Jesus comes, wounds and all. Wounds and all, Jesus comes, and we are the folks now considered blessed for believing and not seeing his wounds in the flesh. But I want us to realize that we too come. You and I, to worship this week and last week and all the weeks with our own wounds. We come in our own doubts and in our own fears, as well as in our joys. The key thing here that I think we often overlook in our self-centered, self-pleasing, self-aggrandizing way of life our culture permeates, what's it about me? What we see is the incredible potential of being a community of believers, followers that claim Jesus' identity and that identity in a resurrected Jesus. As the gaps lean toward a tendency to lock the doors in the face of pressure to have hope in Jesus. It's hard. And when I think about our confirmation students, which I love to be with in their learning process. I know how hard it is for them to be sharing with their peers that they're followers of this Jesus at times. But it's important that we as a community bring them up in a way of faith. So we don't lock the doors of self-identity. So what I'm trying to present to us is that I believe that the best way we can handle our doubts in the way in which we handle our other life pains, we do such together as a community. in communion together with each other and in Him who said, do this in remembrance of me. In many ways, Thomas is someone we can relate with, as I shared with the young people, not having seen what others had seen. He doubts their testimony. But notice what Jesus really does. Sometimes people look at that as a scolding of Thomas, but I want to raise up the possibility for us to think of it as Jesus bringing him back into the fold. And then Thomas is able to be proclaiming, really, and in Scripture, in way of order, he's the first one who claims a risen Jesus as his Lord. My Lord and my God. Thomas' exclamation is what Jesus truly is, and he, Thomas, proclaims it first among the disciples. So let us realize that Jesus' post-Easter appearances, the expectations of what it means now to follow this post-Easter Jesus, he offers to them a few things. Peace. Now, I want us to think about where we find peace in this world today. Have everybody take a deep breath. Peace be with you. There's peace among us as Jesus comes into our midst. When he offers that peace, he then sends the disciples. So we go forth in peace. He gives them then the Holy Spirit and assures them that they have the ability to hold or release sin, the work of the church. These commissions, these instructions were given to the whole community. So the sending, the obtaining, and the releasing of sins are things our Lord does not expect you to do alone. We do these things together as Easter people, as the church. A community of Easter people, as we say in our second service creed, called to caring and sharing, seeking and finding, loving and laughing, life, and I insert the word here, together, life together beyond dying. It is together that we are disciples, huddled in this place this day. But you see, the story of we Easter people has been happening now for 218 years. And none of which could have happened, really, if the gospel of Jesus were an individual thing. Instead of appearing to the disciples, what if Jesus just appeared to Thomas and Thomas kept it to himself? We share the gospel. We receive this peace and go forth in peace. We, followers of Jesus, are then we people. So as followers here at Grace and as Easter people who have found our way here this day, I do say to you, thank you and God bless you. I'm glad we're here together this week and every week. I need you. I think we need each other. And Jesus needs us to be the people of God's church. As our ELCA mission statement says, we are God's hands, doing the work of God, sent with peace and assurance. For in each of you, I find love. I find grace. I find caring. I find sharing. I find Easter people who shout out against the doubts of the world, He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. And together then we say, Amen.